This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we're about an hour away from Bukhara, and I guess it's appropriate that we begin studying a little bit more of Sahih al-Bukhari. Now, some of you I know might have fallen asleep within my first talk. You guys were tired. Don't worry, I got it online for you. It's got it all recorded. You naughty people at the back there. Bar khair, inshallah. So what I mentioned about Sahih al-Bukhari, I spoke about the Shart of Bukhari, how Bukhari envisioned what is Sahih, and how his standard of Sahih was not mimicked by anyone else. So for a hadith to be Sahih, it has certain requirements, and I'll just repeat them quickly. First, that as-sanad muttasil, everyone in the chain of narration, you can connect them back ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usually from al-Bukhari to others, it's about four people ahead of him to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Basically, after a hadith is collected by Bukhari, you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to ask, you know, who else is after it, because it's in Bukhari. That's the key. You know up to him that that's what's important. Now it's published. It's not a problem thereafter. The second thing, so we said the first, all the chain is connected. Number two is that the people in the chain need to be people of adala, people of nobility, honor. No one has accused them of any impropriety, and I gave different examples and how that all comes into play. Third, that they had to be people of exactness, people of dhabt. There's no question about their memorization, no question about their understanding. They understand what they're narrating and have the syntax correctly, the Arabic morphology is correct. There's no problem with what they're narrating from a structural perspective. And fourth is that their narration is something that isn't contradictory. There's no shazoos, irregularities in it, nothing that can be out untoward in terms of how people can apply its practice. So Imam Bukhari then took that sahih and he said, hold on a second, it's not just acceptable that two people live in the same city. If they heard a hadith from each other, we need to know that they were able to demonstrate that that was actually a reality and a fact. Now, I want you to know that this wasn't unique a circumstance. One of the teachers, and this first hadith, the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, is the hadith of Bad'ul Wahy, the beginning of revelation, and I'll explain it. In the chain of narration is Sufyan, who is Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he was famous for this famous incident where as he was narrating the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he kept a ledger. He kept a book next to him. And if one of his students walked out, say, to make wudu, he would write his name. If another one fell asleep, he'd write his name. I would have written the name of the whole bus, actually. Right? I wouldn't have even asked which name, just write the whole bus out, right? MashaAllah. He'd write the name of the person who fell asleep, Na'isa. Not even fell asleep, but just like slumbered. Because even if you just slumber and then you wake up, you missed it. And he would write their name down, and then he would say, these people cannot narrate hadith for me today, because they were not present or they were asleep. That's how serious they took the narration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if something like that came to Imam al-Bukhari, that Sufyan said about this person, he fell asleep in class, Imam al-Bukhari would not take that particular hadith from that particular chain of narration. Why is the chain of narration important? Because the chain of narration is the basis of our deen. And Allah speaks of it in the Qur'an, as we recited this verse earlier today, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. There's a syntax and a chain of narration. The book came from Allah through His angel in the form of a book to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. There's that syntax where Allah's training us to understand that this is delivered to us. It wasn't a book that fell down from the heavens. You have to be able to verify it. When the Prophet ﷺ tells us to pray, as is found in the hadith of Bukhari, he says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray the way you've seen me pray. You've seen me pray. He doesn't say, pray the way it's been narrated to you, I pray. Although, definitely, like us, we haven't seen the Prophet pray. But why does he say seen? He says, don't rely on the one who tells me, we heard the Prophet pray this way, when they could have seen it. No, go to the one who's seen me pray and ask them first. The modality is more important than just hearing in this context. So, Al-Imam al-Bukhari would request and make known that the people who said they narrated from each other had to prove that the narration was met and that they were people who attended to each other and that they learned from each other. And the shart of Al-Imam al-Bukhari is the most stringent. Now, in the categorizations of hadith, we have the highest, most authentic hadith is the hadith that is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon. Bukhari and Muslim both agree on this hadith. After it is the hadith of Bukhari. After it is the hadith of Muslim. After it is the hadith of that are collected in the Sunan of Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Nasa'i and so on. Kullin ala shartihima ala sharti. Each of them in according to the stipulations that they have made. What is a Hasan hadith? And are there Hasan hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari? The answer is yes, but they are not considered from Sahih al-Bukhari. A Hasan hadith is exactly the same conditions as a Sahih hadith, with one important difference, is that where it comes to dhabt, the understanding and the cognizant of the narrator doesn't have to be to the standard of hadith of a hadith that is Sahih. They have to be honorable, they have to be connected in their chain, but they may make mistakes in the wording. It's not verbatim. They might say things like ruwiya, you know, I heard. And it might not be I quote, but it might be this was what was described to me or shown to me or seen by me, right? So that makes the hadith come down from being a sahih, where I'm quoting, to being I'm discussing. And that becomes a hasan hadith. The last of the categories, which is considered da'if. And for Imam al-Bukhari, da'if and maldu' were kind of treated the same, that they were hadith that did not meet the condition of hasan or sahih, meaning that there was someone in the chain who's missing, or there's someone in the chain who has bad memory, who mixes things up, who's become unreliable in their narration, or has been accused of impropriety in their deen or in their relations with others. The Sahih is actually a wondrous book, and the way it's been structured is quite magnificent. And I have a few notes that I'll mail out to you, inshallah, in the coming day or so. But I thought I'd go through a few things that might be of note to you. How did Imam Bukhari get the idea of writing Sahih al-Bukhari? It came from Ishaq ibn Ruhawiyah, who was one of the narrators that Imam al-Bukhari narrates from, alayhi rahmatullah. Ishaq, he, just in passing, he said, subhanAllah, if only somebody would take on the momentous task of gathering just Sahih hadith, rather than putting it all in together, it would be really awesome if somebody actually, you know, made a book that was just Sahih. And Imam Bukhari says, فَوَقَعَتْ فِي قَلْبِي. This was in Al-Madinah. It fell into my heart, and I used to sit near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's household, near where he is buried, and I began to collect this hadith book. Now that hadith, Sahih al-Jami', al-Musnad, al-Mukhtasar, this book Sahih al-Jami', it took him 16 years to write. But it began with somebody else's idea. And I want you to understand that our deen was not meant to be that we wait for other people to enact it. It was meant, hey, that's a good idea, and I know it's his idea or whatever, but I'm going to do the best I can with it. And I'm not going to say, oh, mashallah, he thought of it, I'm sure he's going to get to it at some time. And there's no procrastination when it comes to the matters of faith, and when it comes to the matters of the ummah, you seek to propagate and to teach and to use and to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as quickly and as competently as possible. If it is within your level and within your lane, push forward and don't look back. That's the methodology of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. And that's where he gets the idea. Some of the peculiarities about the Sahih. And I thought to mention that the chapters, and I mentioned this earlier in the talk previously, before Salat al-Asr, or before we had our break, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he did extensive chaptering. So the titles of the chapter were extensive. In some books, the chapter title is a page. The chapter title is a whole page. Because he wants you to know that the hadith collected here, they're going to meet all these different requirements. Second thing is, he didn't just narrate the hadith once, but he'd narrate the hadith in more than one chapter heading. So you'll find the hadith of the beginning of Wahy, and you'll find a hadith in the beginning of Iman, and in different chapters, because it can be applied to more than one context. And that showed the fiqh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. That was revolutionary for his time. Another thing that you find that is peculiar about it is that he uses al-mu'alliqat, meaning the hanging chains. So one of these famous ones, you hear a lot of people say, music is haram. The hadith is in Bukhari. I say, no, hold on. The Prophet ﷺ, yes. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, the Prophet ﷺ said, that before the Day of Judgment, there will come a time where al-ma'azif, musical instruments, singing, and that is going to become widespread in the Ummah, along with drinking. I say, no, the hadith is in Bukhari. Look, it's right here. No, that's actually in the chapter title of the chapter in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's not a hadith in Bukhari. It is a narration from the Prophet ﷺ, but without an isnad, without a chain of narration. Why is it without a chain of narration? Imam Bukhari is telling you, this is not a hadith that is sahih according to my standard, but it is worthy of mention because you're going to hear it in other places. So I want you to know, I know this hadith, but I'm not narrating it. And it's part of the chapter heading. Right? And that's from the fiqh of Imam al-Bukhari. So it's important to know the structure of the book before you begin to read it. And therefore you find people who, when they pick up a Bukhari in English, and they haven't studied it, they don't know the technicality of it, they say the hadith is in Bukhari. And the answer is no. There's no sanad for it, meaning it's not from the Musnad hadith of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and therefore it is not considered a sahih. If we can pause the recording for just a second.